He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin.
This is Car Keys.
Good morning to our listeners for this week's Car Keys show with Jay DeMarkin and myself, Robin Leach. We are in the summer of 2024 when this show is done, and it's getting warm out there, which means AC, that's air conditioning systems in cars, should be in top operating condition if you want to remain comfortable while you're driving around our listening area and beyond. There are a couple things that I want to start out with, and then Jay will probably chime in. There's not a whole lot, in my opinion, that's really exciting going on in the electric car industry and or the fuel car industry. Gasoline-propelled and diesel-propelled car part of our world. But Jeep is trying to ever decide, as many automakers do, how they can attract a new audience to their vehicles, which have a very normal reputation for being off-road ready and rough and ready for tackling most terrain that most drivers never see, but like to think they can do it in our driving area. And that means Jeep is looking towards the electric field for more vehicles, thinking that they're going to attract a new audience from what they have right now. I'm not sure that's really going to happen. Jay may have some opinion on this, and he'll chime in shortly. But in any event, they have got a new electric Wagoneer, Grand Wagoneer, coming out. It's called the Wagoneer S, and I don't know much about it, except
well,
it's going to be all electric.
I mean, and I'll chime in right away. It's probably going to be a great electric full-size SUV, but Jeep is following in other manufacturers' footsteps and not being very clear in the branding and the names they're giving to their vehicles. I mean, Wagoneer is a big Jeep SUV, and then the Wagoneer S as in Sam. Is the electric version, and I don't know how the S relates to the electrification of the vehicle, but it that is what it is. And yes, that vehicle is coming out, I think, still this year. And then the Renegade, I think, is just it's a faraway promise. You know, announcing now that in 3 years, in 2027, we'll have a $25,000 electric vehicle is easy to promise. And we all remember Mr. Musk promising a $35,000 Model 3 10 years ago, and that never happened. So there are questions about this Renegade electric vehicle, whether the pricing of $25,000 will be including the tax credits or not. So it's just still very vague at this point. That's all.
Absolutely. I'm not as interested about talking about what the price is and all that as I am as to whether or not, the electric, the opinion of the electric market is all over the place. As I talk to people, and EJ, I'm sure you talk to people also as to whether or not it's really going to roar towards us or whether it's going to creep towards us, which I will state as the following points that were made to me suggest. One article suggested that there's a poll out there that, and the polls are just hypothetically accurate or inaccurate, as the case may be. There's a poll out there that suggests that people who are already owning electric vehicles, I think they said 3 out of 10 people were suggesting that they were going to go back to ICE, that's internal combustion engines, in their next purchase. The fantasy, or whatever you want to call it, has worn off those people, I guess, or else they've been inconvenienced, as is possibly probable that could happen to people due to the infrastructure irregularity as far as reliability and placement of locations and convenience to people needing to recharge between trips or during trips. But in any event, I know a couple of people are going to get rid of their electric vehicles and go back to something more traditional. The other factor is that there's rumor out there that electric vehicle prices are actually coming down, as Jay has suggested they might do with new vehicles, much less maybe existing ones. And that is, in a sense, is reversing this negative point that I just made, in that people are buying electric vehicles. The Ford Lightning, for example, and the Ford Mach-E, which is a Mustang derivative, sales have shot up, and whatever that means, because prices have been adjusted, so to speak, to try to interest people in coming back to those vehicles as we go forward. I have actually talked to three people who have currently own Ford Lightnings, and I will say that the enthusiasm for this truck is high with the three owners I have interviewed. They are not contractor types of people. One of the three does say he has used his to tow a horse trailer without a whole lot of difficulty, but it hasn't been over great distances. And the other two are basically using it as an alternative vehicle to a more traditional SUV-type vehicle. And they absolutely love the truck. They love the interior. They love the spaciousness of the interior. And I have yet to drive one, but I've been invited to drive one from one of the interviewees when it's convenient. But there's no question that if you buy the vehicle for the right purposes and it's electric, you may be very happy with it. And that's the way it is with all cars, I guess, Jay,
vehicle,
right?
So neither one of us has an electric vehicle, so we're talking about things we don't really know much about. I think until you own a vehicle and live with it day to day, we're kind of missing out on some of the facts and arguments we can make. I think, though, that and I've said it again and again and again, the electric vehicle is a great short distance everyday vehicle,
and commuter type car.
Yeah,
yes,
but most people have several cars, and at least one. Very few people do more than a couple hundred miles in a day. The charging is, it's been brought to my attention that charging stations are becoming extremely expensive. Charging on the road is expensive, and I just saw some figures just this morning reading about the new Chevy Silverado pickup truck, which GM has made it a truck. It has over 400 miles of range, but it comes. The price of that is that you're hauling a lot of batteries. It's a huge battery pack. The truck weighs 9,000 pounds. I mean, that's like towing an elephant everywhere you go. And
that's almost 5 tons.
Yes.
Before you put a feather into it.
But charging at home will cost you roughly $40 to recharge that vehicle. Charging it on the road in a charging station at Electrify America or one of the other charging station chains is going to cost you around $100. So
I want to step in here, Jay, because I have been seeking owners' knowledge of what it's been costing them to charge their vehicles at home, and nobody has been able to give me figures that they could say are reliably consistent. And this is the first time I've heard from anybody, and you don't own one, and I don't own one, about the potential charge cost of $40 at a home or more at an EVgo station. And I'd like to know where those are coming in from, because if that's the case, what's the big economy factor of avoiding gas stations?
Let's be clear that those were figures for the new Chevy Silverado, so which has great range, it's powerful, but it's not a very efficient, fuel efficient, energy efficient vehicle, and that's just the way it is. And you're shuffling 9,000 pounds of mass all around. And And if you want it to be fast and you want range, you need battery packs. And you know, the battery size is like the equivalent of the size of a gas tank. I mean, has nothing to do with the power of the car. So you want more range, you add a bigger gas tank or you add a bigger battery pack. And the thing is, with pickup trucks, they have the room physically on the frame, on a chassis, to put huge battery packs. So that's what GM is doing, and most likely Ford. I don't know what the figures are for the Ford, but so they're not.
Well, I've heard people who don't really know, Jay. Let's get back to the point of the question. I haven't heard. I don't know where you get $40. I don't know where you get $100, but I haven't heard. Articles have not come out on that, as far as I know, and I read a lot of articles. So I don't know whether that's accurate or not, but $40 or $100 is up there in range of, $40 is less than most fill-ups of gas stations are certainly for premium-grade gasoline. I don't know whether $100 is less than the equivalent for a vehicle with a 20-gallon gas tank. I guess it would be in California, where I believe gas has been over $5 a gallon. But I still don't know. I do know that there have been stories about the variability of charging costs at different areas, and that California is trying to figure out whether they can surcharge electric vehicles on charging points or two. And so it is all over the map. I do agree with you there. But is it really as expensive as petrol? Engine refillings on a regular basis or not?
I guess my point was, or where I was going with this, is simply that the battery pack on that Silverado is like a 200 kilowatt hour.
Well, it's like the Hummer. It's the equivalent of the Hummer battery pack.
Yeah, exactly. And so they're big. So big gives you range, but you know it means you know more juice and more money to charge them.
Yeah. Okay. So, we can move on.
Sure. Moving on.
Well, were you at the track this weekend? Do you have anything to say?
I was at the track this past weekend. It was a SCCA regional event. I didn't see much of the racing as I was there, just showcasing my simulator. But it was fairly well attended, but it was not a big public event like we will see in July. Race cars, a lot of people. Race car driving is still a big thing. We haven't seen a lot of electric race cars, by the way. There's one series on the world stage, and it doesn't get great reviews. It's been a tough proposition. The cars are fast, but it's kind of weird looking at electric cars racing, I guess. It's not extremely popular.
Is there any chance that Lime Rock might have a e-race of electric vehicles like is going on at other tracks in I don't know which series it is, but they have elsewhere?
I don't, like I said, I think there's only one big international EV race car championship as of now. And that's, you know, they've been mostly going, it's a world tour that has mostly been racing, I believe, in cities. And I actually know very little about it, to be quite frank. Not in any time in the foreseeable future. And race cars need to make noise and need to have engines, and this is where you're going to find the most, reluctant to go electric drivers is going to be amongst race car drivers. So petrol heads will be around for a while.
What else do you have on your topic list to talk about?
Well, I we can talk about whatever you want to talk. I think the summer's rolling out. You start the show with this. You know, we're going out and you see people taking their summer cars out or their classic cars out or their sp- sports cars out or their motorcycles out. And all those vehicles are on the road now, and then we just have to remember that we're sharing the roads and people are not all on the roads to go from point A to point B. Driving on weekends around here, you know, you're going to encounter traffic that's a little slower in front of you, and be patient. It's, you know, we happen to live in an area that's a lot of fun. There are a lot of fun roads, and you know, I find myself taking my little sports car out just to, you know, taking the longest way to go from point A to point B just to enjoy the driving.
I am acutely aware of the invisibility of bicyclists, except those that have bright flashing lights, which the a lot of bicyclists have. But walkers, people who are walking along the roads in our listing area, we're listing area for anybody who's listing outside our area of two-lane roads, winding, curves, hills, and very much tree-lined most of the way. And it is very obvious that people don't who are walking. I wish there were a lot of walkers listening to our show because we bring this up periodically, that you can't see them in lots of cases when they're in the shadows of tree-covered roadways. And many walkers don't seem to understand that they really, whether it's a state law as it is in Connecticut and maybe others, but I'm not sure, or not, they should be walking, facing the traffic that's oncoming to them, not in the lanes, in my opinion, going the same way that traffic approaches them from behind. Because some walkers walk side by side, as do motorcycles and bicyclists, and we don't have very wide safety alleys or safety sides to our roads in many cases. And they are outside those lined sidelines in some cases. And, boy, I tell you, I'm sure you agree with this, Jay, you sometimes come around a corner and you see two or three people walking sideways in the same lane you're going, and they have no idea that they may not be seen quickly enough for an emergency type of, you know, avoidance maneuver, especially if cars were coming the other direction. So the other area in which I see drivers failing miserably to let other drivers know what they're doing is those who fail to use their turn signals and before they actually have stopped in the road and you don't know which way they're going to go, and then they put their turn signal on. I wish there was some kind of way to manage drivers' knowledge of what they have in their cars to let people, other people driving, know what they're going to do other than not letting them know what they're going to do. And you come to where roads diverge and they wait to the last minute to say they're going to go left. We have a hill near in Lakeville, for example, where you have a church in the middle and you go right to go stay on the main road and you have go left to go up on a side town road. And oncoming traffic who are waiting to pull out into the main road going down into the village many times don't have a clue what the cars coming up the hill might do, and makes it very difficult to decide when to pull out to continue their driving down into town, for example. So drivers, you know, you have turn signal stalks in your cars and trucks. Please use them if you're listening and think about this when you're going to make a turn out of the main line of traffic or the main road that you're traveling on, so you can let people oncoming or following know what to do, such as braking to slow down behind you if you're going to be making a turn off the main artery, or turning your signal on well in advance so oncoming traffic knows that they should slow down in case you make a maneuver to crossing in front of them before they get to where you are on the road.
So we're turning this into Robin's Driving School 101.
Well, it should be in everybody's driving school 101, as far as I'm concerned, because it's bad all over the place. Doesn't matter what state you're in. I do a lot of driving. You do a lot of driving, Jay, and I'm sure you pay attention to this.
Maybe we should let cars drive themselves. You're always arguing against self-driving cars, but you're actually making the point that drivers are not all that good at what they're doing, so maybe we should let cars drive themselves.
I have not been behind self-driving cars to know whether they are signaling. I don't even know how you decide interesting. What do you do about a self-driving car when it comes up to a place where there's a diversion of a road? How does a self-driving car figure which way it's going to go?
I don't know. I think we should test one. We're going to go on a we're going to order.
Well, we're not going to have one around here to test very soon. Maybe you might be one to do it, but I don't know if you're letting a car drive itself up Route 41 going to Sharon, and it's going up the hill towards Hutcher School and is that division road I just discussed earlier. How does a self-driving car know which way it's going at the top of the hill or where the church is, left or straight on the road?
Let's put it out there to our listeners. If anybody has a self-driving featured car, whether it's a Tesla or a new Mercedes, please contact Robin, and we shall organize a driving test and see how those self-driving features work on these rural roads. We know they work pretty well on main highways, right? I mean,
well, that's true. But what happens when you get to an exit?
I don't know. We'll find out. I've told you the story about. I've talked about this. I rode in an Uber down in I can't forget which one of the Carolinas in a self-driving Tesla Model 3, and it did the job pretty darn well at night. So I
okay,
actually would
but
like to try
that. Was the address plugged in to where you were going?
Of course.
Okay, that solves the answer
going,
to the
right?
question. But if you're just driving a self-driving car and you want to turn left up Wells Hill Road, listeners, I'm sorry to belabor this, but you can think about it too. And if you have any suggestions for us, you can always contact us through the radio station and give us your suggestions. But how do we know which way you're going to go, and how do you program that self-driving feature as you start out from the middle of town, let's say, and head towards your address on Wells Hill Road, but you haven't put the address into the car?
Well, you put it in the car. I mean, that's what you do in the car, whether you use Apple.
You don't put an address into your GPS to go up to your address on Wells Hill Road.
Well, maybe you should, and it's pretty
okay.
easy to do.
Enough on that. Jay, you can continue.
Well, I'm just having this conversation about, you know, self-driving cars in rural areas because people don't put their signals on, and maybe these cars do. Anyway, moving on. I think we've covered somewhat our safety tips for the day. One thing I wanted to talk about, and even though the season is totally not there, we might have talked about this. Car shows are a thing of the past. Yeah, Geneva is done. And Geneva was the big auto show, like the number one world auto show where all the big new models were introduced. And that's it. 2024 was the last show. So we'll see what New York holds for us next year. Yeah, I think this is about it. Let's go drive cars. It's nice out.
Well, we did not go. I don't know whether you made it to the car show in New York this year, but I was not able to go, and our group that I usually go with was not able to go. And one of the comments that was made was by one of the members, and I'm not disagreeing with it a lot because I felt sort of the same way. The headlines about the car show features were basically around the electric car industry, and they were going to show up big in the car show in New York. And what I don't know is whether the attendance was down in the New York car show for maybe the similar reason that one of the members of my group said they were not really interested in going to see electric vehicle stuff. And I didn't go, so I can't tell the listeners whether there was a dearth of internal combustion cars there or not. But promotions were around all the electric things that were going on, and you're going to be able to drive, test drive electric cars around indoor tracks and that. And that may be part of the problem with the car show's popularity declining around the world. We'll see what happens in 2025, or the rest of 2024 for that matter, because car shows happen different times of the year in different places. Between Europe and the U.S. There's a lot going on, but unless you're interested in the specific vehicles you're going to see at a car show or not, it's going to probably dictate whether you actually want to go in person and wander around for a couple hours and see things which we have been doing for years within the pre-electric car era. And most of the time there were design changes that were occurring and all other things and propulsion technology that was increasing and that made the shows interesting year after year.
I think we just have, communications is just much more in real time now. So whenever anything comes out, we know about it immediately. We have
videos.
We have the whole world of social media, so it's kind of hard to keep a secret until the day of a car show and have these presentations like we had in the past. But they were fun while they lasted.
Jay, for our listeners' interest, if there is any on this subject, have you ever seen any robo-taxis anywhere? And what do they look like? Because I'm looking at a picture of a robo-taxi, and it's got so many things on the top of the roof and sensors pointing here and there in the mirrors. I have yet to see one live, but I'm looking at a picture right now. And you talk about battery weight. I'm talking about additional weight of what I see as rather big, enormous rooftop sensors designed to make them safe.
Oh, I saw a DeLorean yesterday on the roads. That was cool. Here in Lakeville. Speaking of Back to the Future.
It looked very nice, didn't it?
So it did. Let's talk about some classic cars sometime in the foreseeable future. In the meantime, I think our time is up, and we'll talk to everybody next week.
Perfect. Till next week.
Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin. See you then.
Car Keys with Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin is produced at the facilities of WHDD 91.9 FM, RobinHoodRadio.com, Sharon, Connecticut.